Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 27 to 31. Romans chapter 3, verses 27 to 31. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. In our main text this morning, the summary of it all is salvation by faith alone. Verse 27, it says, where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. Being made righteous is something that comes only from God, and therefore there is no boasting on the part of mankind. The process of becoming righteous, mankind are not involved at all. It is only solely dependent upon the work of God. Just as a parent bears a child and gives birth to a child, the child has no say in whether they are born or not. It is completely up to the father and the mother. So from the point of inception to the birth and even growing up as an infant, the child has absolutely no say in that process. But however, some people will look at the child and see that in the existence of the child, the fact that the child exists, and may perhaps say that child does have say, some say in how they were born and when they were born or how they are raised, but that is not the case. And in the same, it is the same for the believers. It is God who makes us righteous. And therefore, Apostle Paul says there is no boasting on the part of mankind when it comes to salvation or becoming righteous. So the mankind are not at all involved in making oneself righteous. It is absolutely the sovereign work of God. It is God who became man, was born here on earth. He lived and died on the cross and rose again. In 3 days he rose again and ascended. And upon his ascension, he gave his spirit to enter into mankind to enable them to believe, to come to faith in salvation. So all that, the mankind has nothing to do with it, but it is God who was involved in every step of the way in making mankind righteous. So therefore, the question is, where then is boasting? Apostle Paul is aware that Jews found the reasons to be boastful. They found pride in receiving the law of God. They found pride in having the institution of circumcision. But however, Apostle Paul asks, where then is boasting? To boast is to say that you have something, that you have contributed to something. So to boast in one's salvation is to say that you have contributed something into you yourself of being saved. Perhaps you think it is through your works. Perhaps it is something through your own self. Then you may think that you can have some reasons for boasting. One may say that through my works, through who I am or what I am, I have something to do with my salvation. But the scripture says a mankind are born from birth in sin and death. So the mankind is born in death, and therefore how can one make oneself righteous? So whether it is a doctrine that someone made, a false doctrine, but the reality of life is that every mankind is born in sin, and therefore we continue to live out our lives sinning. If you look at your actions, your life, it is simply an expression of the existence of sin within you. And if there is sin within you, and you sin because you have sin within you, what is the consequences of all of that? Is your death, is your grave. So therefore, the mankind has nothing to boast about making oneself righteous. But from the human point, the mankind falsely believe and think that they have something to boast. They are full of pride. They are full of things that they can boast about. They are full of thinking that they are worth being praised and valued. They see themselves as one that is worthy to be praised. They see themselves as having achieved things or things that are worthy to be looked up to. That's how many people look at themselves. But before Jesus Christ enters into you, there is nothing in this world that will give you an accurate picture of who you are. The fact that from birth that you are born in sin and death, that is only made clear when Christ enters into you. Your blindness to your truthful self is because of the curse of your sin. Satan tempted mankind in the beginning and say, eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and tempted and deceived mankind to think that when God said that when you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. That is certainly not true, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the woman saw the fruit of the tree and was tempted, and she ate from it, and the man as well. And from there on, the reality of sin and death entered into mankind. What does it mean that death entered in? It simply means that a being that is not worth being praised makes themselves one that is to be praised. It is one that is totally incapable of anything, making oneself someone that is capable of something. It is nothing claiming to be everything. And it is because of this curse of the sin that the mankind lives their life thinking that they have something to boast about. They want to stand in front of others, putting their heads up, presenting themselves as being worthy to be praised by others. But however, if you see yourself as someone who has nothing to boast about, you are humbled, your head is down, and you have a demeanor of one that stands before others, not thinking that you have something to boast about. Whether you are poor or rich, whether you are learned or unlearned, this innate nature of mankind is exactly the same. The sinful nature of mankind heading to their death and grave is exactly the same. They are dragged about life through the sin within them. But being unaware of this truth, they live their lives boasting about materialistic things of life. They boast of diamonds in their fingers and their ears. And once you have that big diamond on your fingers, you walk about the street with your hands showing to show how big your diamond is. This is all a mankind that is puffed up because of their pride within them. And that is one of the things that God hates, pride. The man who lifts themselves up, the boastful man. God is aware that you were made from the dust of the earth. You are at the bottom of the earth. That's how you were created. The mankind that God is pleased with is the man who admits to the fact they come from the dust of the earth. God is looking for those who are humble and lowly and knows where they came from. But however we live our lives, the mankind lives looking for things to boast about. When the nature of Satan, the devil, entered into mankind, it makes the mankind to think that there is nothing impossible for them. It makes the mankind to think that they can do everything. Even when a man sins and does something wrong and they are caught, their tendency is not to repent, is not to say sorry, but immediate tendency is to think of a way that next time that they can avoid being caught. And so if you want to be successful in this world, that's the kind of thought and the way of life that you shall pursue. But biblically, in the Bible, it says, do not be deceived by the ways of the devil. Another way that mankind sees themselves as being able to do everything is that even when you hear others succeeding, accomplishing something that you or yourself did never accomplish, you hear that and you think that, and you have a tendency to belittle their accomplishment and think that you yourself can also accomplish what others have accomplished. Beloved, all these tendencies of mankind to think that you can accomplish anything and everything, that is not the way of the Lord. That is the way of the devil, to think that you are able to do everything on your own. And this world teaches you that. And this world says, if you look at yourself in such a lowly, humble way that the Bible teaches, this world begins to look down upon you. And even in regards to your rage and your anger issues, people think that they have ability to keep themselves from sinning in anger. And they think that they have ability to keep from sinning even in the areas of anger in their life. But they fail to understand that upon themselves, in and of themselves, it is impossible. So whenever people fail in anything in life, whether it is trying to live a holy life, whether it is trying to accomplish something, they always tell themselves, next time I can do better, I can be better next time, without realizing their innate inability to be righteous. But however, God is looking for those who are weak, those who are humble. God desires to be the strength for the weak. God is not looking for those who see themselves as righteous. And God looks upon such a prideful person and say, yeah, you are well off, you can be on your own. God does not seek for such prideful, boastful person. Every year, people make resolutions to be a better person. Whenever we fail, we make resolutions. We seek out ways to do better next time. It is like a man who lifts up this book and says, yes, I can lift this book up. Can you truly lift this book up? Can you truly keep it lifted up for days, for hours and days and months? You have no ability to fight against the weight of the gravity. And that is a simple picture of a mankind who sees themselves as someone who can achieve, who can persevere, who can accomplish. Beloved, that is the nature of mankind, who simply sees their temporary ability to lift this book up and say they can keep it up forever. That's the foolish nature of mankind. So for every mankind, what is important is not to just merely look at yourself on the outside, but it is critical for you to look within and see who you are and see and realize your real you within yourself. And that true picture of who you are deep within you can only be given to you by God through the scriptures. And we say we are in the new year, but it is really not a new year. This is just another year that brings you closer to your older self. What is new about this new year? There is nothing new under the sun. So the devil, the Satan himself, has pushed this world through the progress in science, through whatever it thinks is progress for this world. In the old days, when you were at home, you didn't have much source of entertainment, source of things that you can do to make yourself entertained. But today, Because of technology, we are full of things that we can have to entertain ourselves, to engross ourselves in the activities of sin. And this whole earth, this whole world is full of man's progress, full of what man thinks is improvement and in progress. But spiritually looking and thinking, this world is now full of things that deserving of God's wrath and judgment. And we are in a point where the mankind is able to live even past 100 years old. And we say that is progress. And we're even at a point where some people are even saying that they will be able to create life. And this is, beloved, all a deception of the devil to keep us from seeking God. And so this advancement, this culture of mankind, the epitome of it all is mankind's religion. And in that sense, Christian faith is not a religion. At the pinnacle of the culture of this world is religion. And what is at the core of world's religion is deceiving people to oppose God. It's teaching people that it is through their own works that they attain certain religious status. And such people God is not interested in. Those who seek their own righteousness, those who seek their own status through their religious works. Even in Christian churches, we see many people who are deceived in that way. So, beloved, we need to come to know this profound truth of who we are from the Bible, from the scriptures. The Bible gives us a clear and accurate and truthful picture of who we are to show us that we were created from the dust of the earth, that we are born in sin and death, that we ourselves are corrupt and depraved beyond all things. And on top of that, the advancement of culture and scientific progress has deceived us to think that we can do anything. And with that deception, there is no way for the mankind to come to know God when they are so absorbed with their liking of the advancements of this world. And beloved, when you share the gospel, in every sharing of the gospel, you have to tell them about death and resurrection. The death and resurrection must be communicated. When you come to know the scriptures accurately, when you come to see the actual truthful picture of yourself through the Bible, you come to know that you yourselves are full of lies, full of falsehood, and that accurate picture of every mankind is shown to us through the Bible. And when you come to see that, you come to know that only thing that awaits for you is death. And you come to know that your old sinful selves must be put to death, that the resurrection may follow. You come to acknowledge the need for your old self to die, that you may rise again in life through faith in Jesus Christ. You come to know that there is a need to put an end to yourself and that Christ needs to begin to live. And Moses, when he was leading the people of Israel, he described the way that God led the Israelites in the wilderness as the rock of all ages, leading them and guiding them and being right behind them to lead them through the wilderness. And in light of the scripture, the person may come to know the falseness of themselves, the sinfulness of themselves, the total depravity, total untruthfulness of themselves, only through the scriptures. And when you come to know that accurate picture of yourself, then just as the rock of ages in the Old Testament, that Jesus Christ comes right behind that realization. And it is only through coming to the knowledge of nothingness of yourself, nothingness of life, that Christ would come right behind that. Just as it says in Ecclesiastes, under the sun, what benefit it has? Does anything under the sun that you toil and labor over, what benefit does it really bring to you? Such is a truth in the scripture, and you find that truth in the Bible. Only you do not find such truth in anything else. So when you try to evangelize to other people, you begin by sharing with them how lowly, how humble you are, how sinful you were, how worthless you were. And you come to share how you were, what you were before Christ. And you share with them that the grace of God flows down to those who are in the lowliest point of the valley. But instead of that, many people, even in the church, are interested in sharing what they want to boast about instead of where they were before Christ. And you may be able to deceive other people to look at you as someone worth praising, but you cannot deceive God. Regardless of how moralistically good your life seemed to be, you cannot fool God. All you are is someone who is living, trusting in your own righteousness. For sure, God begins at a point when you come to know your own sinfulness, when you come to know your own nothingness. That's where God will begin His work of salvation. And so, beloved, this truth comes from God, and anything else apart from this realization, this truth that comes from God, is a lie that comes from this world. Beloved, your life here on earth is brief. So you must invest your life pursuing and seeking after this pearl. What good would it for you to be recognized by others? But you must surely be recognized by Jesus Christ. You must be recognized by God Himself. All these people who praise you, all these people who look up to you, put you on a pedestal on the outside, it may seem like they look up to you, but the nature of the evil of this world, the sinfulness of mankind, they put you on a pedestal, but behind your back, they will be speaking evil of you. They will try to shake you down and pull you down from your pedestal. That is the nature of the people of this world today. The true nature of corruption, of man's fall, is to deny and is to hate acknowledging one's own sinfulness, one's own bankruptcy. And we like our friends to cheer us up, praise us, and put us on the pedestal. And this world says such are the good friends. And that's the way that this world operates. But spiritually, those are not your good friends. In 2 Corinthians, we see Apostle Paul praying to God, asking for healing three times. It says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. So from the human perspective, people might say Apostle Paul, who was so powerful and God used him mightily to preach the gospel and heal people, even at the touching of his handkerchief, people were healed. But people may have looked at Apostle Paul and say, look, such a miracle worker, but he's not even able to heal himself. So Apostle Paul three times pleaded with the Lord to heal him, to take it away from him. But the answer from the Lord was that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And just this one few words from the Lord, Apostle Paul came to know and realize, and he says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness. But however, the natural man, the earthly man, wants to boast about their strength. But Apostle Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. So that is why, for Christ's sake, Apostle Paul says, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So he says he boasts of his weakness, he boasts of his hardships, the insults that he faced, the persecutions that he went through. And Paul, Apostle Paul, came to know the reasons and the source of his illness. It says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And God's answer was that my grace is sufficient for you. And what is grace? Grace is God who came to this earth, lived, died, and rose again on behalf of Apostle Paul, on behalf of all of us. That is grace. And grace, God reminds Apostle Paul and us that you and I were born to receive this grace. And apart from this grace from the Lord, our life is lived out in vain. And God reminds him that in your weakness that you are made strong. So he came to realize, he came to even appreciate the idea of being weak, because in his weakness that God's grace is made great in his life. And from there on, he goes to boast not about his accomplishments or his strengths, but he goes on to boast about his weaknesses. So Apostle Paul prayed 3 times earnestly to be healed, but upon praying and receiving God's answer, he realized that even his illness was allowed by God for him to come to know his boasting, his conceit. And so through 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this is a very important passage for every believer, and we are blessed by it in the process of our suffering, in the process of our difficulties in life, to see that through them that we come to experience God's grace. It teaches us to look upon suffering, to look upon difficulties in life, not merely through our physical eyes, but to see them with our spiritual vision, to see that God uses these difficulties, circumstances, and weakness and pain of life to reveal to us our boasting, our foolishness, our conceitedness, our conceit, and reminds us that through those things that his grace is made sufficient for us. So as he prayed, he came to know the reason why his illness was given, to reveal to him and to keep him from being conceited. And we see later on in the letter, we do not see that Apostle Paul was healed from his physical disease. It just remained. And that is the case for Jesus Christ. He hung on the cross and people ridiculed at him. Come down from the cross. Take yourself from the cross. Come down and we will believe you, Jesus, the crowd said. But Jesus instead remained on the cross. He bled and he died. He did not come down from the cross. And people ridiculed and said, such weakness we shall not believe in. And even his disciples betrayed him. Peter denied him 3 times. And Jesus hung on the cross and cried out, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he hung on the cross and faced his death. And when he hung on the cross, when he stayed on the cross, God granted resurrection upon his death. And this is completely opposite to what this world says. This world says you must climb up the ladder. You must make yourself greater. But Christ hung on the cross and he died. Resurrection could not come without the death of Jesus Christ. That is Christian faith. However, the mankind wants to be boasting, wants to be someone who is looked upon. But Christ hung on the tree and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Though his flesh died, but his spirit was alive. Beloved, your body, your flesh will eventually return to the dust of the earth. And before that happens, your spirit must be made alive. When Jesus Christ comes, you come to know that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. That you come to know that you are created according to his likeness, according to his image. God says, let us make man in our image. So therefore, what is the mankind? The mankind is the image, the likeness of God. Why? Because his desire was to come in and dwell within us. That is the ultimate purpose of God creating mankind. So instead of giving ourselves to God's purpose in creating us, we declare ourselves as ones who are autonomous, who can be successful, who can provide for their own. We declare ourselves our own masters and our own God. So until now, if you have been deceived until now, what good is being full? What good is being hungry? What good is in being healthy? What good is in being sick? All these things will not last. Whether you are healed or not healed, whether you are full, whether you are hungry, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, what is important in this world, those are not the things that are important. What is important is for you to come to know that God has created you according to his image, according to his likeness, for he himself to dwell within you. For you to know that Jesus Christ, who is the tree of life that was there at the center of the garden, he is now here to reside within you. And that is the purpose of God creating you and me. What can you truly attain from this earth as you are dragged into your eventual death here on earth? The nature of this world is, if you're by yourself, you're lonely. If you're married, you're in misery. That's just a simple picture that shows you the misery of life, regardless of how and what your life here is on earth. That's the nature of life on earth. Beloved, God is the one who controls whether you live or not. God is the one who controls the birds of the air, whether they fly or they fall to the ground. So God reminds us, do not seek after the things of the world, but first seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, he says. This is the order of things for the believers. How smart are you? How successful are you? You think you have what you have and you are successful in living and enjoying all the things of your life because of your own abilities and your own provisions? When I was in Hawaii to found the church there, and I was renting an apartment on the second floor, all the smells and the smoke from the first floor would eventually arise into my room upstairs. I had no car there. I couldn't speak English much. I didn't know where to go even to eat. And it is then I even realized that I didn't know how to even cook for myself. So I managed to wash some rice and try to make some rice. And I fell asleep while trying to make some rice over the stove. And I was awakened by the burnt smell of the rice. And I woke and I got whatever I can from the pot. I put some soy sauce in it. And that's what I had. And if I would have known how that's how my days would be in Hawaii, I would not have gone there. And by faith, I went there. And it's only after I arrived, I realized I did not even know how to cook and make food for myself. And I had no answers and solution to that. But I am here to tell you that there was not even a day when I went without food. And I went there without knowing. I went there without knowing how to find food, make food for myself. And my personality is, I couldn't and I wouldn't even ask for help. But what was amazing was that even then, there wasn't even one day that I had to go without food. And after all those years, I can testify to you, it was God who provided. If you're wealthy, how much food, how much can you enjoy of this world? If you're poor, how less of food, how less of the riches of this would you miss out in this world? The nature of Satan, beloved, is in deceiving you to think that you can do all things yourself. But the words in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is such a blessing for the believers when he reminds us that in our weakness, that the power of Christ is made evident in our lives. Beloved, you are simply a glove. A glove, a pair of gloves, cannot do anything on its own. But it is only when a pair of hands fits into that glove can truly function and serve its purpose. A pair of gloves must remain as pair of gloves. Just as a mankind must remain as a mankind, we must not claim ourselves to be God. Such is the nature of mankind that we're made to be like the pair of gloves for God to be fitted into our lives. But we, on our own, claim ourselves to be God. Just as the water flows to the lowest point, the grace of God comes to such people who are at the lowliest points. Whether you come to church on a weekly basis or not, whether you have good deeds or not, that is not what God is interested in. But your prayer must be that God Himself would enter into you. The Son of God, the Spirit of God, God the Father, will reveal Himself to you and enter into you and begin to dwell within you. That's what your ultimate prayer must be. That is a person who is successful in their life. So therefore, we are not made righteous through the works of the law, but it is through the law that requires faith that we are made righteous. Beloved, faith does not come from a mankind, but faith comes from God. Faith comes as a gift of God. Faith is not a mere assent. Faith is not a mere head knowledge of the gospel. Faith means Jesus Christ. Faith means the presence of Jesus Christ. Faith means the coming of the person of Jesus Christ into your heart. For Jesus to come into our heart and to put an end to our old self, and from there on to live a life according to Christ who lives in us, that is what Christian life is. So faith is Jesus Christ. To have faith means that Christ now begins to dwell within us. So verse 28 says, "For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." So faith means that Christ dwells in you. So you are justified by Christ who dwells within you. In verse 29, "Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not the God of the Gentiles too?" Yes, of Gentiles too. That God is the God of all peoples. The Israelites, the Jews, since receiving the law of God at Mount Sinai, they saw themselves as ones who were separate, ones who were special, and they looked down upon Gentiles. But however, when God called Abraham, He called him to be the father of all nations. And so the Israelites, when they received the law of God, they falsely began to think that they were above all other nations. And to such people, God says to Israel, It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, it says, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. And so in the same way, Apostle Paul knew that God is God of all nations. And that is why in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the gospel is commanded to be preached to all nations, not just in Israel, not just in Jerusalem, to the ends of the earth. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God became man, came onto this earth. He came to and was born among the Jews. And the Jews were chosen to be the vessel to make Christ known to the ends of the earth. So instead of seeing themselves as God's vessel to be used to make Christ known to the ends of the earth, they saw themselves as ones who are separate, as ones who are above all the nations. Yes, Jesus did come to Judea. He walked the earth in Judea. He healed people and he preached the good news. But Jesus did not come only to the people of Israel. He came to all nations. He came for all nations. And he went to the cross. And his death was not merely his own, but it was our death. And that is why we say we died with Christ on the cross. And we rose again with Christ. Christ came and died and rose again. His personal death and resurrection is represented by his baptism. But what happened on the cross after he went through his public ministry, that he went to the cross and he rose again. So his death and resurrection is not merely his own personal death and resurrection, but it was our death, it was our resurrection. So Jesus is the first son. Jesus went through death and resurrection, but his death and resurrection enabled us to die and rise again. And so we are now the brothers and the sisters of Jesus Christ, who is the eldest sons, eldest son of God. We are the sons of God now. So the will of God in Christ dying on the cross and rising again is to bring salvation to all nations, to all peoples. But however, even now the Jews will not believe that. They oppose the person of Jesus Christ that we believe in. They are yet to believe in Jesus Christ. Then where is the true blessing currently? Right now it is upon the Gentiles, but later on, even though the Jews have been scattered all over the globe, but slowly the Jews are returning back to Israel. And that time when the Jews are now returning back to their homeland, it is the time for the salvation of the Gentiles. But when all of the Jews have returned back to their homeland, it says in the scriptures that they as a nation will repent and come to Christ in faith. It sounds like someone is reminding me that the sermon is too long today. So Apostle Paul reminds us that God will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Jews and the Gentiles will be made one in Christ. In faith in Jesus Christ, God calls us not merely to be individuals in the church. God calls us to be part of the body of Christ, body of the Church of Jesus Christ. He does not want us to remain as individuals, but he wants us to be one in Christ. Just as our hand is part of the body, our arm is part of our body, one part of the body is not annoyed by the other. That's the nature of the church. We are all part of one body. But sadly, there are people within the church that remain as individuals that are annoyed by other individuals in the church, other parts of the body. So focus, even within the church, should not be on individuals, should not be on individuals' faith, individuals' abilities. Christian faith is about a death of yourself and being and to rise again with Christ as a new creation. So, beloved, even within the church, it is not about individuals. It is about the body of Christ, body of believers. So, beloved, you must stop trying to pursue after your own good works in your own self-righteousness. But you must be included with Christ and to see yourself at the cross of Jesus Christ, and seeing the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as your death and resurrection of Jesus, as your death and resurrection of yourself in Christ. And I pray that in the new year 2022, that you will give yourself wholly to have such faith in Jesus Christ. Don't base your spiritual standing on your emotions, on your own convictions, but look to what Christ has done. He came, lived, and died, and rose again. And He embraced you and me on the cross when He died and rose again. So, beloved, look to Jesus Christ and see that you have been made one with Christ. You are no longer under Adam, but you must, through faith, be moved on the side of Jesus Christ. And I pray that such faith will be a reality in your life this year. On verse 31, it says, "Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law." So if you are made righteous through faith, then you fulfill the purpose of the law. What is the purpose of the law? The law makes you conscious of sin. So through faith, you do not do away with the law, but you complete the law. The law of God is completed through faith. So when faith comes, through faith, you can truly keep the law of God. So therefore, we do not nullify the law by faith, but rather the law of God is upheld through faith. I pray that there will truly be a day in 2022 that you can truly boast about, which is the righteousness of Christ that comes through faith. Father, we pray that your Spirit will work within us. I pray that you would open your word to us, illuminate your word to us. I pray that you would bless us this year, that we may not come to know Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.